Today's Mishnah, Masechet Nega'im, is Perek Yud, Mishnah Chet. So we're right in the middle of Perek HaNitakim, and we're going through all of the din of a netek. And remember that the netek is the one nega that actually has a simen of tahira, besides pricha. But there's something that can appear in the nega that suddenly makes it tahor, even when it was tameh. So mishayabo netek ubo se'ar tzahov tameh. So let us say that you had a netek and it was muchlat on the basis of having se'ar tzahov in it, and now all of a sudden nolad lo se'ar shachor. At that moment, it becomes tahor. So that we learned all the way back in Mishnah Gimel. But the point of the chiddush of our Mishnah is that if any time afterwards this se'ar shachor fall out, so then afal pi shahalach lo se'ar shachor, so if they fell out and they go away, it's still tahor. And the fact that there is a continued simen of tuma, which is the original se'ar tzahov, does not make any difference. Because what happened with the appearance of the se'ar shachor is that they defined these se'ar tzahov as not being a simen tuma. So, therefore, it would be permanently tahor, unless there were new se'ar tzahov, those weren't defined as tahor. Or unless there was a pisayon, it's not going to define the pisayon as tahor. So if there was originally a pisayon, so if the se'ar shachor was in there, then the se'ar shachor were metayer the pisayon. But if the se'ar shachor go away, then that same pisayon would be tameh. That's the shita of the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon. No, it's much more than that. The idea of se'ar shachor is that once a netek is tahor, even for a moment, it cannot become tameh afterwards. So kol netek shetahar sha'achat ein lo tum'a lo'olam. I don't care whether the se'ar shachor is there. The se'ar shachor showed that the baldness that was growing in that area, and it's an expanding bald spot, and it's now apparently being poseh into all the hair around it. It doesn't matter, because once that netek can be seen as not the type of netek disease that the Torah asserted, so it doesn't matter, even if it would grow new se'ar tzahov, or even if it would continue to be poseh, the halacha would be that this netek is never going to be metame. Tremendous kula. Rabbi Shimon himself, not the way Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda was quoting Rabbi Shimon, but the way we have Rabbi Shimon as we recognize Rabbi Shimon, is not that makel. He's more makel than the Tanna Kamma, but not to say that the netek itself is by definition impossible to be metame. And what Rabbi Shimon said in the version we're familiar with is that kol se'ar tzahov shetahar sha'achat ein lo tumah la'olam. That I agree that once you have se'ar tzahov, and once it became tahor, so then that can never again be metame. That I agree with the Tanna Kamma, that if there was se'ar tzahov there, that it's not going to be tame. But I'm taking it further, because I hold that nega, even if it was originally tame, because it also had pisyon, the se'ar shachor would also stop the tuma from pisyon, even if they fall out. That much I go beyond what it is that the Tanna Kamma holds. So in other words, according to the Tanna Kamma, the only thing that happens with se'ar shachor is that what is currently there as the simen of tuma, which is either the pisyon or the se'ar tzahov, is as long as the se'ar shachor is there, is certainly tahor. And even if the se'ar shachor disappear, the se'ar tzahov that remained there is not a simen tuma. But either the original pisyon or new se'ar tzahov is certainly going to be metame, according to the Tanna Kamma. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says that if there are se'ar, the way we have se'ar, the way we have Rabbi Shimon, so then the se'ar tzahov that are extant or the pisyon cannot be metame. But if there's going to be new simanim, they would be metame. Only Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Limit Rabbi Shimon, he holds it's a din in the netek. It's not a din in the simanim. So according to him, once a netek is defined as tahor because of Seyar Shachar, that netek will not be metame. That's the point. And so that means that it is no longer this netek, no matter what it does, it's never going to be metame, because now we've seen that the effect of the netek on the sa'arot, which is the definition of what the netek is not the netek that the Torah was metame. Completely different approach than the two approaches of either Rabbi Shimon or the Tanakhama, which is that it's a din, according to them, it's a din in the simen. According to this approach, it's a din in the netek itself. Next Mishnah. Negayim Perek Yud Mishnah Tet. Now, the last thing, which we have not defined in Legabi Nitakim, is the din of Pricha. Is there a din of Parach Bekulei on a netek? And if there is, what is the gvul of Parach Bekulo? So remember, when it comes to Nigei Ha'or, there we learn from the Pasuk Nigei Ha'or, if all of the skin that is shayach to a nega actually is affected by the nega after it was already either muchlat or muzgar, then that is called pricha bekulo, and pricha bekulo is mitaher. Is there an equivalent to a netek? Says the Mishnah, Misha ayabo netek kigris. He started off with a netek the size of a gris, showed it to the kohen, and it was... It spread. The Kohen was metameh with the normal dinim of netek, 2 weeks. And then it spread over his entire head. Nitak korosho. So now it covered his entire head. Or the truth is, as we'll see clearly, that's the meaning here. If he had a netek in the beard area and it spread across his entire beard, it would also be tahor, because that's called porach bekulo. And parach bekulo is true even on a netek, even though it doesn't say it beferish. And we learned that out from the word of ish ki maret rosho kereachu tohorhu, which over there, bepashtus, when you read it, you think that it's just defining the concept of karachat or gabachat. But we actually learn out from it in the Teres Kayanim, that it means that there's a new din of Yemaret Ko Rosho. And then from the extra Lashon, where it says Ve'ish Ki Yemaret, we learn out that that's true of the Zakan as well. So it means that if it spreads either throughout the entire head or throughout the entire beard, that it would be the same as spreading across the entire body. Now the question is, what is the relationship between the head and the beard? Are they two completely different areas of hair? And therefore, you can have a parach bekulei just in the head or just in the beard? Or are they considered to be one general area of hair growth? So, harosh v'hazakan ein ma'akvim zed zed divi Rabbi Yehuda. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a netek on your head would spread and cover the entire hair of the head, it would be tahor, even though it does not affect the area of the face. So says Rabbi Yehuda, and vice versa. If there was a netek on the face that spread over the entire hair area of the face, but there's still no effect whatsoever on the hair of the head, it would be tahor, because these are two separate dinim. So tain is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says that's absolutely wrong. Of course it's ma'akvim zed zed, and I'll prove it to you. Amar Rabbi Shimon v'dinu, look, it's a kal v'chomer. Because if you take a look at the din of Nigei Ha'or, let me ask you something. The face, is the face not completely a different area than the body? Why do I say it's a completely different area? Because it's surrounded by hair. Completely. It's cut off from the rest of the skin on the surface of your body in terms of the din of Negoyim. Because Nigei Ha'or do not affect hairy areas, right? So they will not affect the beard, they will not affect your head. So if that's the case, the face should not be part of the din of Pricha. So if you had, let's say, you had on your chest a nega, and it spread over your entire body, but not to your face. What's the din? It's not pricha. In order to be considered to be pricha bakulo, it must cover your face as well. Okay? If we're agreed on that din, and nobody argues on that, so then I'm going to make a kavah chomer. If the or hapanim and the or habasar, which are separated from each other, and yesh davar acher mafsik b'neihem, namely an area that cannot be included in the nega, which is the area of the beard or the head, because over there it's not included in the nega, even if there's no hair in it, because it's a different din of karachat v'gabachat, as we'll see. And nonetheless, the halacha there is that the face and the body, the skin of the rest of the body, is ma'akvim zezeh for pricha, harosh v'azakan, that are all one area. Ein davar acher mafsik b'neihem, ein odin shi'akvu zezeh. So isn't it clear that in order for it to be considered to be pricha, it would have to be poreach completely throughout both the hair on the head and the entire face? Therefore, I hold that it is ma'akvim ze et ze, as a dover portion. Now, let's just define what we mean. I mean, what area is the area of the head, and what area is the area of the beard? I mean, it's not as if there's different colors or something that's going to show you what's what. What would be that definition? So the area that is considered to be the zakan is defined from a drawing a line, essentially, min haperek shel lechi ad pika shel gargaret. So what you need to do is you take the upper joint of the jawbone, which you can easily feel. You just put your head next to your ear, put your hand next to your ear, and you can feel where, as you speak, the joint is moving up and down as you're moving your mouth, right? That is the beginning of the hair of the head above and the beard below. Draw a line from one to the other. Everything beneath that line, all the way down to the pika shel gargaret, which is what they call the Adam's apple in English, the common language. So any area in there is considered to be part of the beard. Any area above that is considered to be the head. That's where we have the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now, what's confusing is that a netek, which spread and which became tahar, what is the result of that netek that spread and became tahar? Baldness, right? Total baldness. So that means that there would be no hair left on this person's head. Thing is that if the baldness did not come through the netek, then it is not a netek that spread. It's a completely different condition, which would be called either a karachat or a gabachat, because there's a whole different set of negayim besides netekim, which are karachat v'gabachat. And that, the difference between them is that karachat and gabachat are a type of baldness that appears as just a permanent baldness. Either it would be male pattern baldness, or it would be caused by some type of change in the skin condition, and maybe damage to the skin that's now all scarred, or maybe by chemicals, whatever, maybe by radioactivity. But it's something that removes the hair, and it removes it in a way that it's not going to grow back. And netek is this pathological condition where there's some type of something or other. Maybe it's a fungus. I don't know. But the bottom line is that it will temporarily be taking out the hair. And that's considered to be the spreading of the netek. But if it was an actual baldness, it has nothing to do with netakim. And as we saw before, karachat and gabachat have the same dinim in many ways as nigei ha'or. So karachat v'gabachat, and the difference between karachat v'gabachat is simply the location. The Torah tells us that if it's mimaret, if a person's head was bald, the back part of his head, which we're going to define in a moment in the Mishnah, that's called karachat. If it's the front part of the head, that's called gabachat. And these can now become tamei if they get one of the maros legayim that are metame nigei haor. So Karachat v'Gabachat, now we're going to start at the beginning of the sugya of Karachat v'Gabachat, the same way we started on every one of the Negoim. Okay, they're metamos b'shnei shavuos, and they're metamos b'shnei simanim. Then, of course, the normal extra simon that we have, which is Sear Lavan, does not appear to Karachas and Gabachas, because the whole point of Karachas and Gabachas is there's no hair there. So therefore, they seem to be the same as a normal type of nega, so it's the same Arba Maras Negoyim, 2 weeks of Hezger to see whether there's been a change, and they're exactly the same in that either a Michya or a Pision of the discoloration or in the discoloration, in the case of a Michya, that would be enough to be Metame them, but if after 2 weeks you don't have any kind of simen, so then the Kohen is Metayer. The difference is between the netek and the karachat or gabachat is when we're talking about the type of baldness, a zohi karachat. So karachat would be, let's say, chemically called caused gabachat. Somebody swallowed neshem, which causes the disappearance of hair, or was exposed to neshem on the surface, so sach neshem, or was the skin was damaged by a makash she'ena ru'uya l'gad al sehar, and now the skin is all scarred, and scar, of course, does not have hair follicles. And because of that, it's a makash she'ena ru'uya l'gad al sehar. But the point is that there's a permanent loss that is just part of baldness. And what defines the karachat as opposed to the gabachat? A zohi karachat. So what defines the rear karachat as opposed to the gabachat, which is the front gabachat? So over here, what you have to do is you take the kotkot, you take the middle of the head, of the top of the head, and you draw a line down to your beginning of the beard at the ear. So anything that goes back towards the neck, so if it's shofeh l'achorav ad pikashel tzavar, all of that is considered to be a karachat, because that's towards the back. A zohi gabachat was considered to be front, minakot kod, the same point, but now as you go down towards your hairline from the top of the head, hashofeh lefanav ad kineged haseyar milamalan. Now, the tremendous chiddush over here is that a karachat and gabachat are two completely different areas, and they're not mitstarfot zuim zu. And not only that, you cannot be poseh from a karachat to a gabachat or from a gabachat to a karachat. So in other words, if a nega in the skin of the back of the head spreads to the area that was bald in the front of the head, it's not considered to be a pision. So that means that the set of negoim, which is called karachat v'gabachat, include two completely different areas. In the same way that shechinu michva is a set, but nonetheless they're not mitstarfa zuimzu, and they're not posot zuimzu, and they're considered to be two members of the same set. That is true even of karachat v'gabachat. That's also a tremendous chiddush. But this is not true, remember, for Nesakim, because a netek doesn't distinguish between parts of the head. It only distinguishes between the entire scalp and the entire beard. It's only karachat v'gabachat that makes a difference where on the head. So basically, the first part of our perek, I was dealing with netakim. It's exactly the same no matter where on the head it is, front, back, middle, whatever. It's only when it comes to this new set of tumas, which is called karachat v'gabachat, that we would say that there ain't posot zumizu. But Rabbi Yehuda says, if there's a row of hair between them, im yesh se'ar b'neihem, so then you're right. They do not constitute one area, and you cannot be mitzaref them to be a gris. But if not, if there's no hair at all, so then at that point, what you have is a completely bald head. And therefore, it makes no sense to be mechalek between the karachat area and the gabachat area, because what distinguishes between them is the growth pattern of hair. But once there's no hair at all, so then you just have one area. And therefore, imlav, Hare Elo Mitztarfot, they would be Mitztaref, both Lagabe the Shira of a Kigris, and also Lagabe the Din of Pisyon.
Rabbi, what is Pika Shel Tzavar?
The Pika Shel Tzavar, we said, is like the Adam's apple.
And there was Pika Shel Gogeris.
Oh, sorry, the Pika Shel Tzavar, you're asking? The Pika Shel Tzavar is the top vertebrae. It's the Tabat HaGdola, basically, which you can feel, which is the base of the neck. Right? So that's at the point where the skull begins and the vertebrae end completely. It's really the same thing on the other side. It's just because of the shape that we're defining it as different things, but it's the same Pika, basically, in the end. Remember that the Tabat HaGdola is joined by cartilage in front, as opposed to the other Taba'ot. So that's why it has two separate expressions. Okay, Rabosai, that is pretty exciting because we're ready for our Richie, who hasn't been showing himself except at the very beginning, which we greatly appreciated. And now, Hadran Alach Perek HaNitakim. And this actually, you know, we'll do that tomorrow, but this actually concludes, believe it or not, all of the Nigei Adam himself. We're going to be moving on tomorrow to the Nigei Begadim, and then from there to Nigei Batim. So we've got the Dinim of the Tumas Adam. Of course, when it comes to the Taira, we'll get back to the Adam again. But we have finished. Whew, it's been a long journey. 10 Prakim of all of the various halachas of the Dinim of Nigei Adam.